A few moments later.
Operation now, please send 150,000. And you're wondering, my salary is 160,000. Junior, somebody mistakenly fell into a bottle of Coca. Please, we need a very expensive surgical straw to suck him out. And you're wondering what is happening. And by the time you begin to do all these things, you just discover you have little or no money left. So what is the balance, especially for Christians? And I want to really address Christians, because Christians struggle, and I will tell you why. We believe in generosity, and the Bible is replete with scriptures on generosity. So how then do we balance it? The Bible says in Psalm chapter 41, verse 1, for instance, it says, "Blessed is the one who considers the poor." So meaning, as children of God, we must constantly and repeatedly consider the poor. In fact, God goes a step further to introduce himself as the husband of widows and the father of orphans. You know, just to give a direct relationship between the God of the Bible and people who are financially disadvantaged. All right? Psalm chapter 68, verse 5, "A father of fatherless and a judge of widows is the God in his holy habitation." The same thing in Deuteronomy, chapter 10, verse 18 to 19, Psalm chapter 10, verse 14. So listen, generosity will always be a part of the Christian tradition and religious tradition generally, all right? I think that this is one aspect where we have unanimous agreement, no matter what your faith is. If you're a person of faith or you're just a well-meaning human, I believe that some part of you knows to extend a hand of generosity to people who are financially disadvantaged. And that must always be a part of us. Listen, I want to take my time to really craft my argument carefully. Because you see, some of you, it's not a saving problem you have. You're just plain stingy. A lot of people have not learned to be generous. And you're waiting to be a billionaire, all right, before you actually start helping someone out there. And that's wrong. And so I want to establish this balance that first and foremost, generosity is a crucial and important part of what we do and who we are, all right? And we are not going to wait till we have all our needs, you know, every single thing figured out before we now begin to say, phew, all right, now that we've built, you know, filled all the bank accounts, you know, who then can we help? Okay, look at this peasant here. You know, you can't think like that and be a child of God. All right, so it's very important you strike that balance. But then there is another extreme where Christians begin to form El Shaddai. You know, El Shaddai is like a religious name for God that means all-sufficient. You are not all-sufficient. And I think it's a very important place to begin to say that if I think I am El Shaddai, I shall die. You know, I think I just said that so that you will remember. The moment I begin to think that I am El Shaddai, I shall die. It's really simple, because as much as you want to think that you can help everybody, you can't. And before I just begin to give you practical tips, I want to help religious people who are just bound by this incessant, you know, impulse to always help and give out money they don't have. You know, I saw something life-changing years ago, and I realized that even in the Bible, there were rules for welfare. There really were rules. Because no matter what, no matter how you want to see yourself, resources are limited. So you can't just throw everything out. All right. Let me say this. There are enough legitimate needs to finish your money right now. In fact, there are enough legitimate needs in the world to ensure that you live in penury. Just so you know, there are enough legitimate needs. And so there must be a balance, a safe balance to help you realize, all right, that I can help as much as I can. And other people will also help as much as they can. And I still have enough to meet my needs, to care for my own immediate family, and then to move on with my life. So there must always be that balance. Otherwise, you have a messy financial situation. Look at this. You know, the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 4, did I say chapter 4? Chapter 5, from verse 3. You know what it says? It says, help widows who are widows indeed. Oh my God. You know, just the fact that he begins to make a qualification just tells you that because resources are limited, you now have to begin to consciously make differentiation. All right? So now the church had a pause, but we can't cater for everybody. So now there has to be like a scale of preference. Let's help widows who are widows indeed. Another translation says, give proper recognition to widows who are really in need. Now, I don't really like the fact that it says give proper recognition, because it wasn't talking about recognition, like good morning, ma. You know, when it says honor those who are widows indeed, honor was used as a terminology to talk about financial remuneration. So for instance, when the Bible says honor the Lord with your substance, he's saying if you love the Lord, if you honor the Lord, you're going to give money. All right? So when it says honor those who are widows indeed, he's talking about who gets the welfare. This is a welfare code. Resources are limited, so who then gets the welfare? And it says widows who are widows indeed. Quite all right. We should help the widows, but we can't help every widow. So what then do we do? Help widows who are widows indeed. So who is he calling widows indeed? In verse 4, he says, but if a widow has children or grandchildren, these should first learn to put their religion to work by caring for their own family and repaying their parents and grandparents, for this is pleasing to the Lord. So now he's referring to widows and widows indeed as people who are dependent, who are poor, and who don't have immediate family help. So now, this is an example of welfare in the church. How come every need you are coming to us? Don't you have family? So now, this just gives you a way to think about welfare. As legitimate as your needs are, we can't help only you, especially if you have other people who should be helping. I will tell you how that relates to you as an individual. So now, even if the Bible calls God husband of widows, he now says we have to be wise about this. There are widows who don't have any help at all. Let's prioritize those ones. The ones who have cousins, who have grandchildren, let those ones demonstrate their religion by helping their mother or their auntie. So now this just gives you an idea of what it means to have limited resources and to put it properly. You know, the reason I'm saying this is because I have seen Christians walk themselves to penury just out of the compassion and their inability, you know, to put a limit on their generosity. So now, Paul is giving an instruction on who should be helped. Help widows indeed. So for you as an individual, you have every right to say, you know what, I can't help everybody. I am just starting financially. Why is some distant uncle who I don't even remember, you know, when I was growing up, why is he telling me about his financial troubles? Anyway, let me make some more clarification. Look at verse 8 of the same 1 Timothy 5. It says, anyone who does not provide for his relatives and his own household has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. You know, so this is a balance. This is why we must still help. This is a Christian perspective. He says, now, verse 9, no widow may be put on the list of widows unless she is above 60. So now, even in Bible welfare for the church, there was age limit. Do you understand what I'm saying? So now you have the right to say, my parents are retired, they will be my priority. Do you understand what I'm saying? So there must be some, when resources are limited, you can now say, I can't send people to school yet, but I can send money for food once a month. I can do 5K monthly. I can do 10K monthly. And for now, anything beyond that, I can't do that. Why is my cousin's younger brother's, elder brother's, younger sibling's, neighbor's daughter, who is just 25 years old, always asking me for money? Okay, at this stage of my life, I can't do that. I can't help with that. My only priority for now would be daddy. Or my only priority for that for now will be mommy. And as time goes on, I'm going to increase in my generosity. I'm going to add more people to the list. And for listen, the reason I'm saying this is because there is a crab mentality. Have you heard of the crab? You know, so there is this interesting experiment that was done to say, when you have like 10 crabs into a container, you don't need to put a lid. You don't need to put a lid. You don't need to stop the crab from escaping. Because as long as there are other crabs in there, those crabs will stop their neighbors from going out. As long as when one is trying to climb out, they drag that one in. So this is what I'm saying. If you're not careful, you will end up eating your seed, eating your capital. All right? Because you are still trying to cross poverty line. You still may try. You have been praying to God, done NSPPD, gone to Shiloh. God has given you a job. Now you have given all the money, even money for transport, to be effective in that job. You no longer have. So now, if they sack you, everybody will be all right. You will sit at home with everybody, then look for the next person that everybody will obtain. So now, this is what I'm saying. You need to put checks and balances so that you can be in a better position to even abound more generously and help people. You know what? Even as a pastor, I've had calls to call some people aside and say, you know what? I appreciate your generosity. But at this rate, you won't even have savings in the future. And you won't be able to give in a more systematic and consistent way. So how about you put your money aside? Invest in something, save, so that you can even be more of a blessing on the long run. And that's how I want you to think. So for that to happen, you must even learn what you can afford. A lot of people don't even know what they can afford. I remember years ago when I began to learn a bit about finances, someone tried to sell something to me. I think it was a wristwatch. And I said, I can't afford it. And he looked at me funny. What do you mean? New way we know. You can afford it. I said, the fact that I have the money for it doesn't mean I can afford it. You see, a lot of people don't know this. If you have 20,000 naira, you can't afford a 20,000 naira perfume. You have the money for it, but you can't afford it. There's a difference. That you have the money to buy something does not mean that you can afford it. If you have 20,000 naira in your account, the people who buy 20K perfume are not your mates, respectfully. The people who buy 20,000 naira shirts are not your mates. You can't afford it. And so, a good way to start this conversation is to begin to talk about simple things like a budget. You must have a budget. You must have a budget. You must know how much you spend. There is something financially smart people call recurrent expenditure, and that's the amount of money you spend consistently. So what's your recurrent expenditure? All right? And a simple way to do this is just go to your bank. Ask for your bank statement to be printed. You know, let them print your bank statement for the past 3 months. I assure you, when you do that, you know, you'll be full of revelation. By the time you add what you have been using on pizza, you'll be amazed. You will be amazed. You can just discover what? 500,000 on ice cream in the past 3 months. You'll be shocked. Bank statements reveal a lot. All right? And when you do that, the goal is now to balance your income with your expenses. So, where is my money going? And where should my money go? So, you must have a fair idea of how much recurrent expenditure, you know, is demanded of you, of your salary every month. How much does it take to transport yourself? How much do you spend on food? You know, for another reason why stuff like this will be very revelatory is because many times, to save time, we just enter into one eatery and buy food. Not everybody can afford that luxury. So these are the things that looking at your bank statement will expose. You might now have to make a resolution. You know what? I'm going to go to Iyabasira and I'm going to give her money, you know. Or in fact, that's still luxurious. I can't afford that. On Saturdays, I will buy soup. I will buy ingredients. I will cook soup for the month. Put it in a deep freezer. So you begin to make wise choices like that. By the time you at least know what is required of you. All right? So you must have a budget. The reason I'm saying this is because some of you don't even have the right to complain that you are being taxed. You have no right to complain. Because if you manage your finances better, you'll probably be able to give better. All right? If you manage your finances better. So that's why we need to talk about this. You need to budget. And let me just give you, there are many general ideas, a lot of ideas out there on how to budget. But this is what I would say that will help you. You need to know what are your needs. And you need to know what are your wants. What are wants? Wants are things that are not necessary but improve the quality of your life. Things like Netflix. You can survive without it. You might hate to believe that, but it's true. Trust me, you won't die. It's not oxygen. Needs are, of course, food, transport. You must transport yourself to work so that you can keep making money, so that they don't sack you. All right? You know, so you need to know what your needs are. You need to know what your wants are. And then you now need to have another category for savings. This is very important. So now, your needs, do your best to make sure that, this is not always practical in this part of the world where the average person lives under a dollar, you know, whatever the thing is. But try to ensure that your needs are not more than 50% of your salary. Try. If you can't do that now, that's fine. So the reason I'm giving you this pie chart is so that you'll be honest with yourself to say, you know what, I can't afford to have Netflix subscription yet. What I would do is once or twice a month when I want to watch a movie, I will go to my friend's house. You see, let me tell you something. It takes living above peer pressure to be a smart planner. to appreciate other people's process. Some people are living off three generations of wealth. We are not the same. My father is the first person in his lineage to go to school. I need time to plan. Do you understand what I'm saying? So don't, because everybody is talking about one program on Netflix, go and subscribe your own. You are not there yet. If you're not there yet, accept it. All right? So what I'm saying is, if you discover that even your salary cannot even meet your needs. I remember when I was there, by 14th of the month, money don't finish. some of you know what I'm saying, all right? So when you find yourself at that level, what you need to do is look at your expenditure and that old cliche quote, start cutting your coat according to your... Start cutting. If they invite you, oh, yes, for this party, it's all white. I don't have white, though. Should I come or I should not come? Do you understand what I'm saying? And then the funny thing is, when you embrace this idea, in fact, you begin to look like... It will be like style. That, I just wanted to be different. because you just have to live within your means. You must fight impulse shopping, impulse buying. Fight it. All those tactics of thrift saving, or all those account numbers, accounts that you have that don't have ATM, abandon your money there. By the time you think of the fact that to touch the money, you have to enter queue. Do you understand? Use your laziness to your advantage. Use it to your advantage. Use one bank, maybe one microfinance that is far away. Throw the money there. So that you have to be desperate, to go and remove it. So those are some things that I believe can help. And then, okay, like I said, you also have to monitor your expenses, all right? Begin to track all the bad habits that you have. Track and correct them. And then I beg you, as difficult, and it's almost insensitive to talk about saving, in this day and age, but it is still necessary. There is something called an emergency fund. And, statutorily, an emergency fund is your needs budget. How much money do you need for food, transportation? I won't just say your salary. Some people say 6 months salary, but I would say your needs expenditure times 6. So if, God forbid, there is an emergency, you lose your job, God forbid, those things happen. It might just be even a prophetic transition, all right? Try to make sure that you don't die because you didn't plan for it. You're not being religious not to plan for a rainy day, all right? Because tough times really do come. So plan for it. I'm not praying that you're going to, be sick or any such thing. But you'll be irresponsible not to have any money to even treat yourself. You'll be irresponsible. So have, and then it's going to take a lot of discipline. Sometimes it's going to take a lot of pain. But you must have all of this. All right? And here is something. So when you do this to yourself, when you know how much money you need to go through a month, when you know how much money you want, you know exactly how much above that quota you need to be able to eat out once in a while, buy Ashoebi, buy large internet, not just basic internet to check your mail, just be streaming and all those things. When you have that budget, you can now know how much money you can safely give and still be responsible. Do you understand what I'm saying? You can now know how much money. Some of us can't even answer that question, and that's the problem. So we don't even know how far is too far. How much is too much? We don't know that. So we must have like a generosity expenditure. We must have a savings expenditure. We must know how much money we need to go through the month. So that way, we can now create a generosity budget. Let me say this. You are not a giver if you give impulsively. There's a difference between... Let me backtrack. Something very interesting happened in Dubai. I entered a roller coaster ride. And it was one of the scariest things I ever did in my life. In fact, I vowed never to do it again. It was that scary. But much to my amazement, all the children, 6 years and under, who climbed that thing were not as afraid. They were not afraid. Then it dawned on me that not everybody is brave. Some are just foolish. Some don't know enough to be afraid. Do you understand what I'm saying? They just don't know what is at stake. They are not braver than I am. They just don't know. Do you understand what I'm saying? And the same way, some people are not generous. They are not just good planners. They're not just good planners. They are the ones who, after they've given, you know, on their way back, they're now like, what have I done? Do you understand what I'm saying? At least you must know your financial position so that you know what is a stretch. So have a generosity budget. As a child of God, you know, as a Christian, once in a while, you should stretch beyond that. In fact, many times. But at the same time, you must even know what quarter, based on how much money I receive, how much generosity should I do monthly, and then to who? And I want to say this without, I'm not looking at local parlance. I'm not looking at Uche's face. I want to say this. Once you have done all that you can do, all that you can do is enough. There's a quote, all that you can do is all that you can do, and all that you can do is enough. For now, the only person I can help, mommy and daddy. In fact, I can tell mommy and daddy, the much I can do for now is to send a bag of rice home every month. Any other thing? You mean this happened? Hey, I'm sorry, I can't do it now. I can't. All right? So you must know how much you are able to do per time and stick to it. And as God elevates you, as you begin to receive more money, you can increase your expenditure. All right? But for now, know as much as you can do and stick to it. If I need to revisit this, I'm going to revisit this. You know what? Don't just go like that. If you have some tips that have helped you and you want to share with us, not in the live chat, but after we turn off the videos, I want to make sure that your comments stay and I can read them. Please share them so that, I might borrow a few ideas and share in the next series. Today's broadcast was brought to you by TribalPay. I'm going to tell you much more about them in the ongoing series. Get ready for this series. It's going to be so life-changing. I'm going to talk about everything like smell. Listen, I was listening to someone. Anyway, I'm going to talk about that later. Just try. Try, if you can afford it, try to smell nice. It will help you. The right type of shirts to use and all those things. I have discovered that a lot of favor and progress, you know, come from simple things like that. All right? Men look on the outward appearance. God looks on the heart. You are dealing with human beings, not with God. You know, and a lot of the favor that you will experience is dependent on your perception. I have a lot to teach you on that. So please don't miss this series. It's a productivity series beginning this week. We'll continue again next week. All right? And I'm not teaching you any facade principle. I'm just teaching you healthy. I'm not teaching you fake it until you make it. I'm just teaching you basic principles of decency that can help your life and your career. God bless you. Thank you for tuning in. See you again next week.